You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends. Welcome to episode 388 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Rowan, coming to you live deep into the night on this Tuesday. And of course, it was the night of the NBA draft lottery in 2018. And by now, you likely know, if you're listening to this podcast, that the Hawks had the benefit of a little bit of a jump in the NBA draft lottery. At one point, it was pretty easy to get your hopes up, I'd imagine, as is custom. ESPN cuts a commercial with only three picks remaining, and the Hawks were within the top three. But in short order, it became clear that the Hawks were going to be picking number three overall, and because they entered at the number four spot before the night, jumping up to number three is a good positive result for Atlanta. And obviously, there's plenty to talk about when it comes to that draft position, as well as all the fallout after the fact. So that's, of course, the headliner. Basically, the entire podcast today is going to be about the draft lottery and sort of the ramifications and takeaways from what transpired. But that is the long and short of it, is that the Hawks will be picking at number three overall. Entering Tuesday night, they had a 14.48% chance to get the number three overall pick and a 42.34% chance to be in the top three overall. So just slightly, a slight upset that the Hawks were able to get in that top three. Obviously, for me coming into the draft, it was important that the Hawks get into that top four range. Three is obviously better than four, but a ton of different sort of examples and things that the Hawks could do in the coming days because of the fact that they are at number three overall. You know, at number one, I would have told you that it was probably a two-man race between Luka Doncic and DeAndre Ayton. At number two, it probably would have been as easy as whoever the other guy did not go at number one. But at number three, there are a lot of moving parts, whether it be either Doncic or Ayton, probably just Doncic. I think Ayton is probably not going to be falling out of the top two, but if Doncic were to fall, that'd be a pretty easy pick for me, although I'm not sure the Hawks necessarily would agree with me there. But a lot of different guys in the mix at number three overall, whether it be Duke's Marvin Bagley III, Michigan State's Jaren Jackson Jr., Texas big man Mo Bamba, even Trae Young from Oklahoma, Michael Porter Jr., if he were to sort of test out perfectly medically, all that fun stuff. So there's a lot of different options that the Hawks could be looking at here. And of course, we're going to spend the next 5 weeks evaluating all of them, to be honest with you. So I don't want to go too deep on the individual guys here tonight, but definitely a lot of doors opened and very few closed by the fact that the Hawks land at number three overall. In the aftermath of the lottery itself, Michael Cunningham of the AJC, who was in the building in Chicago, spoke with Travis Schlenk, who said the following, and I quote, "If somebody wants to make us a great offer, we will listen. But right now, we are happy to pick number three, and we know we are going to get a good player," end quote. That's a pretty canned quote from Schlenk, in that, you know, he's not going to close the door on trading or anything like that. I got a ton of questions right away about the potential to trade up or even down in some ways, especially people that are focused on replacing Dennis Schroeder potentially at the point guard spot. I probably would suggest you guys to slow down a little bit on just the single focus on the point guard spot there. But if they were to trade down, there's some interesting options as well. So you know, the potential is certainly out there that Schlenk could make a move, but that will not be happening probably until very, very late in the process. So for now, we're gonna just hope and at least focus on the fact that the Hawks will be picking number three overall, and we'll focus on that again as the chief thing. Also, Schlenk, in talking to the AJC, said that this is the second time he's mentioned this publicly, but that the Hawks have evaluated eight players for that top draft pick. Of course, before Tuesday night, they did not know where that pick was going to land. But if it was my top eight, I'm not sure I can guarantee that Schlenk is the top eight, but I'm sure it's pretty similar. Whether it be Ayton, Doncic, Marvin Bagley, of course, Mo Bamba, Jaren Jackson, Trae Young, and then it gets a little bit funny after that between Wendell Carter Jr. from Duke. Also could be Mikal Bridges from Villanova, could be Colin Sexton from Alabama. Sort of, it gets a little bit funny after the top six or seven guys, but in general, that's going to be that top group. And you know, if there are eight guys in contention, I'm not sure there's still eight guys in contention at number three overall, but certainly there'll be some jockeying for position in the next couple of days. And I'm sure it's always worth pointing out that there are different members of the front office that probably have different opinions as well. Obviously, Schlenk's opinion is the one that matters the most in the end. But a lot of flying around in that room between guys who have opinions on scouts and all that kind of stuff. So something to monitor in the future there. Again, the general consensus quickly is that DeAndre Ayton is going to be off the board. Frankly, it'd be a big surprise if he was not off the board. But aside from Doncic, who's probably the most likely the guy to be off the board in the top two as well, the doors are certainly open there. Marvin Bagley is going to be the player that I think between now and late June we focus on the most, both in this space and in general when it comes to the Hawks, because you know, most places, I will say not all, but a lot, at least a slight majority of outlets and things and people that cover the draft extensively probably have Bagley as the number three guy in this draft behind Ayton and Doncic in some order. And because of that, that places the Hawks directly in that path, as well as the fact that that was just a big name. He played at Duke. He was awesome at Duke. He was a first-team All-American at Duke. So he's a very, very famous college basketball player and certainly a guy who's worthy of the number three overall pick if you want to invest that in him. Also worth noting that back in mid-April, Chris Vivemore of the AJC did a radio interview with 92.9 The Game in which he expressed that he had heard a little bit that Schlenk might not be super high on Marvin Bagley, but in the same breath, Jonathan Givony of Draft Express, formerly but now of ESPN, actually was sort of paying a different tune there. So it's a reminder to certainly keep your guard up would probably be the best way that I would put it in terms of draft information right now. I'm doing the same thing, trying not to overreact to single pieces of information that I would hear just because of the fact that it's misinformation season, to be sure. But Givony on Twitter said that the Hawks will gladly, quote-unquote, settle for whoever's left between Doncic and Bagley, and that he's been hearing for a while that the Hawks are very high on Marvin Bagley in particular. Also, he referenced that Trae Young would have likely got a stronger look from the Hawks had they fallen a little bit in the draft, but made it seemed like Young probably wasn't necessarily going to be the focus at number three overall. But the part about Bagley is very interesting. That's only one source. I will say Givony is a very trustworthy source with good sources, and ESPN is very plugged in there. But at the same time, already some mixed reports on what Schlenk might feel about Bagley. I would not claim to know at all. I'm just going to pass the word along to you right now because I'm not sourced on this, but particularly in terms of the front office and hearing things. But Bagley is a pretty divisive player in some ways. Most of that is because of his defense. He was very, very productive in college, averaging 21 and 11 as a freshman at Duke, so he was, you know, he's pretty awesome at the college level, as well as the fact that he's a super athlete. But the defensive issues that he had are cause for concern in a lot of ways, as well as the fact that a lot of people are already asking me about the potential fit between John Collins and Marvin Bagley. We'll talk more about that certainly in the future. The quick version is that I'm not running away from Bagley based on fit, but I will certainly grant you that it's not perfect between Collins and Bagley. They'd have to have some development one way or the other on both sides. Really, probably better if both guys develop the perimeter skills more often. You probably need one of those guys to become a legit rim protector as well. So again, not a perfect fit at all whatsoever, but in the same breath, if you evaluate Marvin Bagley as the best player overall in this class when you become sort of on the clock in June, I think you just take him anyway, frankly. That's the short version, and we'll obviously have plenty more of that in the coming days. Elsewhere, I posted sort of a quick hitter on seven guys the Hawks could consider. I originally posted that as six guys, but I got a lot of feedback and sort of reading between the lines, so I went ahead and added a seventh guy there. So there's seven guys on that list. Of course, one of those guys is DeAndre Ayton, so I don't necessarily think that's going to be in play, but I want to at least write my quick thoughts on what the Hawks could be looking for and what I actually feel on these prospects. But we'll certainly have deep dives in the future. If you have not been paying attention to PeachtreeHoops.com in the last several weeks, we've been breaking down at least one prospect per day. We have a list of more than 50 prospects to evaluate because the Hawks have these four draft picks. Obviously, a lot of these guys are not going to be going at the top of the draft, but hopefully you guys are enjoying that series, and we'll have, as we get closer to the draft, the names will get bigger. We'll have those same breakdowns on Doncic, on Ayton, on Bagley, all that fun stuff, so please stay tuned for that, and that's a quick plug here. While we're here, I wanted to just tell you guys to subscribe to the podcast as well. I really appreciate everybody that's already done that, as I tell you guys all the time, but it's a huge favor to us and to me if you subscribe to the podcast. It also helps you get the podcast immediately. Sometimes the pod will go up before the post on Peachtree Hoops goes up or before I have the chance to tweet it, and that way you get the pod immediately when it goes up and is the freshest content you could possibly get. So thanks to everyone who's already done that, and I would certainly encourage you to do that in the future. Elsewhere, just again quickly, I mentioned those few names that I think would be in consideration aside from Bagley, whether that be Jaren Jackson, Mo Bamba, and I guess the potential of Trae Young or Michael Porter Jr. Those two guys I would personally not be centering on right now, but you can't argue with the upside of Young. I think if Young were to pop perfectly, you could certainly see that. He's been a very, very divisive prospect, but Schlick might be in love with him. I would not be personally doing that because I think the floor is pretty significantly low for Young, and really with Porter the same thing for reasons of some motor concerns, of course, the injury stuff that he faced this year. So for me, it would be a decision between Jackson, Bagley, and potentially Bamba. And of course, if Doncic falls, he would be my guy. He's my number one overall player in this class. So just file that away for the future. But that's my short version for now. And I swear, between now and late June, I will be more definitive on who the player is that I absolutely would take at number three overall. But for now, I will say my recommendation will probably be, unless something crazy changes that I see on film or that I'm swayed by some numbers, et cetera, et cetera. It'll be someone between the Bagley, Jaren Jackson, Mo Bamba tier, and I think Bamba's probably three of three there if you were going to ask me to put it together right now. Last thing on the podcast today, I've actually messed this up honestly in the past, so my apologies on this, but apparently I had some misinformation on just how the second round draft order would work. Because the Dallas Mavericks fell below the Hawks, the second round pick that the Hawks have, which I projected to be number 33 overall, is now going to be number 34 overall. At the time when that happened, I was under the impression that because Dallas got the advantage in the tiebreaker in the first round when it came to the lottery odds, then the Hawks would automatically be locked in number 33 overall. But in the end, because Dallas fell behind the Hawks in the first round, Dallas now gets the higher pick in the second round. So the Hawks will officially be picking at number 3, number 19, number 30, and number 34 instead of 33. So that's a misstep by me, and I apologize for that. It's of course one pick in the second round, but it can be considerable down the line. So, you know, file that away for the future. Four picks in the top 34 instead of the top 33. A very minor thing in some ways, but in the same breath, it's something that I had to clean up. And because the Hawks, you know, there'll be a lot of trade speculation, maybe not rumors, full-fledged rumors, but a lot of people will be asking. You know, it's always fun to consider, you know, especially because of Dennis Schroeder news right now. I'm hearing from a lot of people that want to just sort of casually toss Dennis Schroeder into trade offers in order to, quote, move up in the draft. I would certainly be relaxed on that a little bit, I will say, because I think most people that want to do that are overrating Dennis's value in some way, shape, or form. Like, I think there's been a lot of speculation from the fan base. This is what fans do, but that the Hawks could use Schroeder and a number 19 pick to go up and grab Colin Sexton. That would take a large jump. Probably Sexton's going to be somewhere in the top, you know, 10, 11, 12 picks in the draft, and to go from 19, that would take a lot. That would take a team really, really liking Dennis Schroeder, which I can't imagine is going to be the case right now. I mean, obviously he's movable in some ways, but I don't think it's going to be as easy as that. So trading up and trading down is certainly something the Hawks could do, but it's never as easy as a lot of fans want to make it. So just file that away. Keep your guard up as well when it comes to that kind of discussion in the future. Anyway, obviously it's a pretty good day for the Hawks, going up from 4-3. The doomsday scenario of going down to 6 or 7 is now off the table, and the Hawks have a top three pick for the first time in a long time. And if you are a fan of history, I think it's important to note before the draft lottery that all the history didn't really mean much. It's all about the odds and the ping pong balls. But if you want to look back, the last time the Hawks had a number three overall pick, it was Al Horford, and that worked out very, very well. He had several All-Star appearances, and if the Hawks can return the kind of value at number three overall in this draft that they got the last time at number three overall with Al Horford, even if it's in a different kind of player that can return anything approaching that value, that'd be a huge win. Obviously, Horford wasn't always the most popular guy with the fan base, but if you can get a guy who's a multi-time All-Star at number three in any draft, that is a huge success, and hopefully the Hawks will be able to unearth something of that kind of production in the future. So, obviously, a lot to come on the draft. I promise, you know, experts lined up. I have several people that cover the draft for a living that will be coming on the podcast in the very near future, as well as my opinions. I've been digging in for a long time. I have a mock draft coming actually on Wednesday morning for Dime Magazine. So if you guys are a fan of the NBA overall, I have the sort of the overarching mock look there, the first look post lottery. So please recommend. I would certainly recommend checking that out. Although there's definitely smarter people around than me, but hopefully you guys know at this point in time that I do put the work in and check out, do a lot of draft study, a lot of film work over the course of the season, dive in college basketball, and that also informs my Hawks related takes on the draft. So please stay tuned for all of that. Thank you for listening to the podcast. I really, really appreciate it. We'll see you guys later on in the week.